LLCs advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast. And of course, Unprecedented is the podcast, which you can hear him on, and he's absolutely brilliant on that. He's kind enough to take some time today. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Are you doing okay that the Boston Red Sox, they won the World Series? I know you're a Yankees fan.
Luckily, there's the whole rest of this world to put it all in perspective. I always try to remind myself that's just sports. No, I was very unhappy that first the Yankees not winning, and second, if they're going to not win, to have the Red Sox win. I mean, that as in sports is like the worst fate one can imagine. It's an Edgar Allan Poe poem where I'm like buried in like some sort of wine cellar. And walled in and can't escape. But
Wait a minute. Boston in a wine cellar? I don't think so. You know, some cheap whiskey lounge, maybe.
Okay, that's pretty, yeah, well put. Like some sort of like a trashy beer, like a Natty Light,
Special
Yankee the Beast. A yep. Beast cellar. That's where I was. It was a The Beast cellar. But I digress. It's amazing how having an aspiring fascist nincompoop as president puts everything in perspective.
It does.
And it makes you sit there and say, wow, that sucks that the Yankees lost, but there's kids in cages, and there's some guy lying about some caravan to scare people further and still mentioning anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and doing pretty much whatever he can to repeat his best week ever, where he seems to at least have inspired, if not, obviously I'm not saying he had anything to do with it physically, but certainly was part of the inspiration for a gentleman murdering African-Americans outside of a Kroger outside Louisville, murdering Jewish worshipers at the Tree of Life Temple, and trying to murder up to, a dozen politicians, actors, former CIA director. I mean, it's nothing stops him.
No.
He still keeps going with the conspiracy theories, still mentioning Soros, still talking about the caravan, which is just literally a group of women and kids who want to get into the country. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
ridiculous.
And I bring up the baseball because of this. It was a nice respite. I could actually enjoy 2 or 3 hours of non-terroristic, news cycles that I could enjoy on a nightly basis. And you're right. It is a lesser. That is partially on the plate of life because, we are living in a very dark time. Let's go with the pipe bomber situation first, because of all the things. Trump's not responsible for this guy. This guy clearly was mentally deranged. He was clearly inspired by Trump. I mean, we can't deny that. I mean, he was a zealot that was trying to appeal to his God of Trump, and taking Trump's enemies list straight from his rallies and using them as his targets. It's one thing that is important for us to make sure we understand is that is the absolute, without a doubt, largest assassination attempt of political figures in this country's history. And I can't think, outside of a military overthrow, any other time in world history this many political leaguers were targeted, maybe Kristallnacht with the Nazis. But
right.
it's there's not many times, considering this guy had a list of, 100 plus people? I mean, this was clearly...
I mean, if we're going to go with history, the only other times I think you could say this kind of thing happened is probably in authoritarian takeovers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Stalin purged a lot of the other, folks that were in I shouldn't call them folks, it's a little bit of a nice thing to call them, but the, fellow members of the Communist Party who he needed to get rid of so he could consolidate power. And I'm sure there are a lot of czars killed at different times, and king and queen and folks during the French Revolution. But the whole point here is we're talking about revolutions and overthrows.
Yeah.
We're talking about violent overthrows of government. That's the only other time I can think of in history anywhere where that kind of thing has happened. And, there's two important points I want to make. One is, again, people act like, oh, we don't know or we do know. Look, there's among anybody who researches this, there's a very simple concept. You may have come across it, Matt. Others listening may have, called stochastic terrorism. And what that is that, just the way, Tony, you were talking about baseball before, you can sit there now, we've gotten through, we had the stats revolution where you sit there and, you've got war and all these other stats you look at in baseball you didn't used to, where you can predict certain things. The same thing with Nate Silver and other guys are doing with elections. It's the same thing with terrorism. You can set up an algorithm, and the truth of the matter is, depending upon how many times something is being said out there, specific conspiracy theories shared, to a large, certain size audiences, you can pretty readily predict a certain number of acts of terrorism. So you maybe can't predict who's going to do it and where it's going to happen, but we know that there's this many mentally unbalanced people out there. And that's the exact reason why you can't have Donald Trump and Fox News and all these people sharing this kind of garbage, because you can predict that this will happen. So it's not like it's some pie, you know, not like it's something, oh, we're pulling this out of our you-know-what, this is made up, like, you can't blame Trump. No, we know that, that the people who use this kind of language, they are part of the blame. They've incited this. That's the first important point. You know, and the second one that I think drives me crazy is you know, we're now awakening to this fact, and now everybody seems to be paying attention to it. I'm not patting myself on the back, because I know there are a lot of other people like me, but there are a lot of us who've been saying this stuff for a long time now. I mean, let me give you the best example I can give you. You know, in the aftermath of one of those, or a group of those ridiculous Republican debates in 2016, when they were getting up on stage and literally sharing blood libel, I would say, about Planned Parenthood, where Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee were sitting there and saying that they literally had seen a video of a baby aborted after it was born, of somebody butchering a baby after it was born. This was complete bunk. It was 100% made up, okay? And they kept repeating this. And you may remember a crazy person walked into a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs muttering about baby parts, which is exactly what Fiorina and Ted Cruz had said. They were saying stuff about seeing baby parts on a table. And he muttered about stopping the people getting with baby parts. And he killed three people, as I remember. I think it was three. Mm-hmm. Shot a bunch of other people. And nobody ever had held Ted Cruz or Carly Fiorina or any of them to account for that. So Trump is by far the worst, because he now has the biggest microphone and he does this stuff. But it's not like letting the rest of the Republican Party off the hook does all of us a disservice, because this has been a constant with the Republican Party. It's not just random state reps, crazy state reps either. I mean, these are people who have big, you know, statewide figures, senators, governors, people who have TV shows. You got Tucker Carlson sitting there talking about, you know, the people coming in and destroying white civilization. I mean, you hear this kind of talk all the time. And it's predictable that this will happen because of what these people said.
Well, and I want to piggyback on what you just said there. Let's move towards the Pittsburgh shooting. We should remind people that during the campaign, Trump was using Star of David imagery with Hillary Clinton to try to tie her to the Jews, that, you know, kind of get those anti-Semites on board with his campaign. And that did work. He was, in the weeks beforehand, talking about this caravan and how George Soros and the Democrats were bankrolling this caravan. And then he makes the real astounding, and I'm just shocked this hasn't gotten more attention, the comment at the Ted Cruz rally where he says, "I'm a nationalist," which is straight right from the, I mean, like I said, he's not Hitler, but he's cosplaying Hitler at this point. And,
right.
And you know, you have to look at this. He does all this stuff. And then a guy last Saturday busts into a synagogue and kills 11 people in a place of worship. And what's Trump's first reaction? They should have had a guard, pseudo implying they're partially responsible for the man, the bigot who kicked in the door and shot all those people.
Right. Even though there were three police who were there, who were well armed and trained and were shot.
Yes.
Doing that. Again, well armed police in a study in New York City only hit their targets 30% of the time. Because you think about the craziness of everything going on around you. So to think that some unarmed, you know, some armed Yahoo who spent maybe 30 minutes on the range is going to suddenly come in there and be John Wayne from a movie is ludicrous. All right. I mean, that's an NRA fantasy. Talking about another group of anti-Semite white nationalists and the rest. But yes, he called himself a nationalist. He, as you said, has tweeted this stuff out, has retweeted stuff from white supremacist sites using very specific language, which is very clearly the language used by those who believe in elimination of Jews. Okay, it's not sort of stuff that's even up for debate. And somebody caught this guy, you know, Josh Marshall, I think it was, on Fox from Judicial Watch making this comment, you know, the Soros-occupied government. Well, that's a big white militia, white supremacy thing, the Zionist-occupied government. They've been saying that and writing that on, you know, in places for years. Okay, it's a huge, obviously, conspiracy theory. Jews run everything, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, you know, he's been doing this for a long time now. And again, no one's been holding him to account. And the thing is, I think a lot of us gave him a pass because we figured he's such an unbelievable moron. He probably just stumbled into it. And he is an unbelievable moron. And he does stumble into a lot of stuff. But the thing is, there is a point where you have to stop sort of, you know, suspending reality and be like, he's been advised or is being advised by Steve Bannon and Seb Gorka and Stephen Miller, all these white supremacists who are admitted white supremacists, admitted people who've got attachments to either the Klan or Nazi Party, whatever it might be. you know, and he does and says things that you just can't believe are by mistake anymore. I mean, the classic example is after this happens, as if they need to literally step on the graves of the people who are killed, they invite this Jew for Jesus guy to give the convocation or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And when Mike Pence shows up there, when anybody who knows anything, because I grew up in New York City where these guys would be handing out pamphlets on trying to convince Jews to convert, you know, on the subway. I mean, they're nothing but a messianic Southern Baptist trained group of people who essentially have all the trappings of Judaism, wear all the garb, use all the language, and then sort of slip in at the end there, oh, for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a cult that tries to trick Jews into sort of to have that guy get up and say a prayer is I can't even tell you how insulting that is to the people who had just lost loved ones. I mean, it's almost like that's a wink to their base.
Yeah, it is.
They're like, well, we have to do this. We have to pretend for everybody else like we care, but we're going to make sure that we send the proper message to our base, which is, yeah, we're rubbing their faces in it. We're going to invite a Christian to a fake Jew to speak at a Jewish event that supposedly honors Jews.
Well, the one person who yelled at him, this is not about you, when he went to Pittsburgh, is the most appropriate thing I could think of anyone yelling at him. He's gone. Now, one thing that is not Trump's fault, let's go back to Dick Cheney. Back in 2000, 2004, in 2000...
We still have to talk about that ogre. He's somehow still alive. I would have thought that heart would be in the Smithsonian by now, but he's still with us.
Christian Bale looks exactly like the dude, too. I didn't realize that.
I saw that. I was like, oh, my God, what did you do to yourself? Like, I just went on an all-butter diet for 3 months and decided not to climb out of bed. Go ahead.
When Cheney realized the blue-collar Democrat workers that got Reagan and HW elected were no longer in camp, he went out and he embraced the militia guys, the racist guys, the far-right extremist Christian guys. He gave them a seat at the table, and the result was almost immediate. Sarah Palin was, you know, was their candidate for vice president. That was, within a few minutes, those people got validated. Trump just the thing about Trump is he understands how to manipulate these people. There's a story out of Raw Story of Matt Shea, this Republican out of Spokane, Washington. A 4-page document he distributed by the state representative calls for Christians to arm themselves and demands an end to legal abortion, same-sex marriage, spells out basically that anyone who doesn't want to be ruled by biblical law should be killed, namely all the men. If they don't agree with biblical law, you shoot and kill the men and the women. He put this out.
What does that sound like? You know,
exactly.
What does that sound like?
Well, and
people always talk about Sharia law. In any case, go ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. And what Trump knows how to do is get these crazies, the WWE crowd, these people that want to wear the tinfoil hats, these people that at one point were on a compound in Montana, and he can herd them. And this is the kind of stuff that scares me, because this is a sitting representative putting out crap like this. It makes you wonder what we're not hearing about.
But you're right. But I mean, he's a representative. Is this guy a state rep?
I believe so.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it goes far beyond. I mean, we've got Steve Scalise, who's second, third command in the House, who went to white supremacist conferences before he ran for Congress. They called him like a cleaned up David Duke. I mean, we've got Steve King right now, who seems like the Republicans are finally trying to distance themselves a little bit from, only because he's becoming such a bad headline for them constantly that they have to. Well, I mean, they do have people that have open, very close white nationalist relationships who are right there in elected office beyond state rep. I mean, these are members of Congress, senators. I mean, Jeff Sessions himself, for that matter. You know, I mean, so you know, with Trump, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know. It's funny you brought up Spokane. If you've never followed or had on your show before David Neuwirth, you might want to look into him. He's an old friend of mine, and he's worked with the Southern Poverty Law Center, but he's written a couple books because he grew up in Washington State on the militias, like right there around the sort of Idaho, Eastern Washington State border, where they're at their worst. And so he's translated a lot of this stuff for people like me. And, you know, so that you're right, that region, that area, and Cheney, of course, is from Wyoming. He's from that part of the world. So he had inroads, and there's just no doubt. Like, the Bush administration flirted with them somewhat, absolutely, right? I mean, they've been flirting with that for years, Oklahoma City and Ruby Ridge and all of it. I mean, but now it's far past that. We're talking about the top advisors sitting there right underneath Trump. So, you know, yes, Trump is a complete idiot. but it doesn't mean one thing he is good at is he's a good entertainer this way. Is he's very good at instinctually reading a room and knowing what they want to hear. And if you have absolutely no morals and you know whatsoever and no shame, well, you know, all of us, anybody who's good at that can walk into a room and know what the crowd wants to hear. The thing is, most of us won't say it necessarily if it's not something that should be said. Mm-hmm. But that's where Trump, you know, there's no line there. So, you know, that's why they're never planning for what he's going to say when he goes to these rallies. And there's no written speech. He just gets up and says whatever he thinks the room wants to hear.
The final thing, we got about 2 minutes here. I've got to take a break here. But final thing for you, the caravan situation. The Republicans, I think, frantically came to this because they're trying to get that racist base up. But the problem is that they picked a caravan that's, month and a half away from the border. Yep. Trump keeps sending troops down there. But the reality is I think this is a too much racism too late for this campaign for them. And the reality is that I don't think this is going to work for them come election night.
I don't either. It's also, thankfully, I think finally it took 2 years with a lot of us, you, me, many other people, everybody, jumping on the media for just repeating headlines and all that. They've gotten better. The AP has actually taken some down because, you know, when they repeat just his lies without a critique of them, there's still some terrible press out there. But I think with the caravan, you can see that influence because most people know that it's transparently stupid. It's transparently nothing that really is a threat to us. And I've actually seen real news organs reporting it as such. And I think that's been very helpful, too. So, no, I mean, they picked what they thought was their best thing to scare their base the last minute. But they haven't. No, I don't think it's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping everybody has to turn around and vote, particularly there in Minnesota, where, by the way, I've found myself looking at your map. You have some of the most interesting House races in the country. You've got one or two that could go Republican. God help them if they do. But you've got a couple, the Paulson one, the Lewis one, that look are actually no longer even, I think they're not even considered toss-ups at Cook Political. They lean Democratic. So you've got, four, five, six districts that actually are competitive.
We do.
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. I don't know if you, because I know Iowa and Arizona have panels that do this, so it's nonpartisan. I don't know if you guys have that, but it's sort of interesting how you have so many competitive seats. Go out and vote, folks.
Go dig up Dean Phillips. He's running in three. You're going to like him. He's a good candidate for the DFL. You're going to join me on election night for a little bit, correct?
I sure am.
All right. We will talk to you.
Where I also I'd like to be. And congratulations, by the way, making sure that story went national about your crazy Republican AG candidate gay bashing in high school, because good to see that get out there and cover it in a bunch of places. People need to know what a goon that guy is.
I didn't. That wasn't me of all the people. That actually was the Pioneer Press picked it up, and then Raw Story picked it up as well and went national that way. But yeah,
but you promoted it on you got it written down in your show. You put it on Twitter. I guess some people saw it, and you helped make it happen.
I appreciate Ryan Durant, who was the guy that stood up there and said this bullying has to stop, and I appreciate him. Cliff Schechter, Unprecedented, the podcast. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Cliff, thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Take care, and I look forward to talking to you election night when we win.
Yes, we can pray. We definitely will pray over that one.